I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Memo. Welcome to a new week. It's Monday, February the 22nd, 2016. Had to double-check my date there. I'm Brad Locke with Derek Russell.
The last week of the... No. Well, let's see.
Last full week of February.
Because next Monday, you'll still be in February. It'll be a leap day.
It'll be a leap day. That's right. The 29th.
Some of those people that are like in their 60s will be like 18.
I'm only 18. Woo!
Break a hip.
I'm sure those jokes never get old to them either.
No, yeah. That's probably like the most annoying thing in the world.
But I think we're actually doing a story on a leap year person.
Scott's done one. He was here in the building the other day.
Yeah. My
get really annoying.
My great-grandfather was born on February 29th.
Was he?
On my father's side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how old was he when he passed?
20-something.
24. 24 years old. Yeah, that probably does get really old to them.
Yeah, but... Anyway, it's new week. You're back. Hey.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Did I go away?
Wait. Was it last? No, it was sometime last week you were gone.
Did I guess I miss
it wasn't
a day?
It wasn't Thursday. Was it Wednesday?
Oh, I was here, but I went and spoke at Tupelo High School. I went
you
and
did
spoke
that.
To Jenny Miller's journalism class.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I didn't just, like, take off like some people do.
How'd that go?
Excellent.
They all stare at you blankly?
No,
like,
they fell right asleep.
Okay. Well,
quickly.
I've spoken to classes before, and the whole time I'm talking, I'm thinking, I just hope they don't, like, start throwing stuff at me.
Yeah. White guy lecturing, just immediately falling asleep.
I mean, falling asleep actually would be, like, you know, not the worst thing. Because then you can't embarrass yourself if they're asleep. It's my thought.
But they embarrass themselves.
Yeah.
I don't care what they do.
Okay.
As long as I'm not embarrassed.
I forgot how egotistical you are. It's just about you. It's just about you.
Exactly.
Hey, you're Brad Locke.
You probably think the song is about you.
See what you did there.
And I'm Derek Russell.
Hey.
Hey.
The Grammys were last week, weren't they? Speaking of Taylor Swift.
That's Carly Simon.
Well, there you go.
From like 19... Really?
Really.
Let's discuss this.
Edit.
No. Leave that in. I want to discuss this.
Well, listen,
You're So Vain was a long...
I don't listen...
Chris is choking over there.
I know of Carly Simon. I just don't listen to her music. And I really thought that was a Taylor Swift thing.
Because
she sings about her exes all the time.
I think you have Clydes in your coffee, Brad.
Oh. 1972.
I wasn't even born yet.
That's okay. That's fine. I mean, I wasn't either, but I know that. But
there's gaping holes in my musical knowledge.
We jumped to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, which I don't even listen to.
When in
depth. Which is why I just assumed it was something she would say. And let's be honest, that's something she would say.
But see, that's one of the songs. Like, that song has been a mystery for decades now about who is it about. Like, she gave a list of like five or six people back in the 70s of who it was about, and every 5 or 8 years she would whittle it down a person. So it finally got real. It was like last year that it was about.
But that's a very Taylor Swift kind of thing to do, is it not? Or maybe Taylor Swift is pulling a Carly Simon.
Taylor Swift would date you and then write a song about you after she dumped you.
See, the thing is, when it comes to 70s music, I'm more into just like Hendrix and Led Zeppelin and that kind of stuff.
Well,
I'm a big Led Zeppelin guy.
Not so much Carly Simon.
You can like both.
I'm just saying that tends to be where I gravitate towards when it comes to the 70s.
I have both Pink Floyd and Carly Simon on my iPod. Okay, so it was like Mick Jagger, Warren Beatty, Clint Eastwood, maybe? I don't remember who all the... Anyway, it ended up being Warren Beatty, who it was about. But it was a mystery for years.
Well, now I've learned something.
Yes.
Yeah.
After putting my ignorance on display for people to mock, which is fine.
Well,
go
it
ahead.
Is Monday.
Send us an email to memo@journalinc.com and make fun of me for my...
It's fine. We have so many other things.
Speaking
to make
of
fun
70s
of you
music, did you see the new HBO show Vinyl?
Vinyl. I watched the pilot. I've not seen the second.
I've seen the pilot.
Yet.
Only haven't. Well, I got to go back on HBO Go and watch the second.
We can't
I thought
discuss
it was
a lot of those words.
No, we can. But I thought it was excellent. The first episode.
Speaking of Mick Jagger.
Yeah,
and his executive son, produced
and his son was in it.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really good, and the music was
and
outstanding.
Scorsese, wasn't it?
Scorsese directed the first episode,
but they executive produced it together. Him and Jagger,
right. Yeah. He directed the first episode, and they've got other people directing the subsequent episodes. Yeah. And I want to buy. You know, they're releasing like the music after each episode.
Yeah.
New music.
Spotify's got them. You can just listen to the playlist.
So I want to. Yeah, I need to get. I eventually, I just want to buy all those albums.
Yeah.
I'm just a sucker for that kind of marketing.
Typical HBO fashion, the pilot aired, and then they went ahead and greenlit it for season two.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like immediately after.
So. Well, anyway.
Kids, we're not saying go watch Vinyl, but...
Yeah, especially if you're a kid.
Yeah.
Not for kids.
It's not... But the views of Brad and Derek don't necessarily reflect that. we got an episode for you today full of news surrounding the area. We've got Caleb Bedillion joining us, Joss Whedon. Hope not. I have lots of things to say to him if he's joining.
Come on, if we could get Joss Whedon on the show.
I don't like Joss Whedon. And Bobby Harrison joining us from Jackson.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, come on.
Yeah, Buffy's fine. What he did to the Avengers, not so much.
Okay.
Whatever. It's okay.
Oh, and crime reports.
Oh, it is Monday. Anything good? Is Joss Whedon locked up?
No, but we've got some other people doing wacky things.
Good deal. Well, we will go ahead and get into it right now. First off, we want to remind you about our Entertainness movie contest going on right now. You seen this, Brad? You heard about this?
I watched some of the videos.
Yeah? Have you voted?
Can you?
Is it legal for us to vote?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was going to, and I guess maybe I shouldn't. Conflict of interest. Maybe.
Maybe I'll go back and vote now.
Better safe than sorry.
I've been watching, but I hadn't clicked.
Yeah, second round starts today, so it's all the winners. We've got 10 first-round winners have all advanced to the second round, so they'll all go head-to-head this week.
So you can skew the spectrum on that. So check that out, djournal.com/entertainus. Voting keeps going until March 6th, so watch the videos and be entertained.
Yeah.
There you go. Caleb Bedillion joining us now. Caleb, how are you, sir?
I am well this morning.
Good. Glad to have you back on the memo.
Thank you.
You're very reserved this morning.
I'm trying to counteract you.
Oh. All right, Caleb, we are discussing neighborhood overlay districts. This is something that's been talked about for a couple of years now, wanting that Shane Hooper and the team at the City Hall have been looking into. What moves are they making and moving forward with these?
I think they're kind of stalled out.
That a bad way of questioning that?
Yeah, there are no moves that are being made. Yeah, so basically, to explain to people that may not know what an overlay district is, it is a way of making zoning regulations a little bit more precise and a little bit more geographically narrow. So after the 2014 tornado, there were certain neighborhoods that were concerned that since there was going to be a lot of new construction and external renovation going on in their neighborhoods, that if it didn't happen in a certain way, it might change the way the neighborhoods look. Shoddy builders might come in and build things that weren't up to the level of what that was there, or just different kinds of architecture might disrupt the kind of cohesiveness of what was there. So an overlay district is a way of saying, okay, in this specific neighborhood, you'll have a design review committee. And the people that sit on that are residents of the neighborhood, and they have certain guidelines they follow, and they review new applications for construction or external renovation to make sure it's compatible with what's there. For example, in Joiner, you can't now put metal roofs on your houses. There are a few that slipped in before the new regulations went into place. But going forward, no metal roofs in Joiner.
You'll find these in a lot of places where neighborhoods don't have restrictive covenants, or restrictive covenants have gone by the wayside because neighborhood associations have failed to convene to keep those active.
Right. So kind of looking back on that, residents of those tornado-damaged neighborhoods and the city officials I talked to, you know, seem to be of the general impression that what those overlay districts were intended to do in the tornado-damaged neighborhoods has been pretty successful. The level of architectural consistency has remained. Now, looking forward, not sure we're going to be seeing a whole lot of new overlay districts. You know, in 2014, basically by that summer after the tornado, there were three that were approved. Mm-hmm. That was in Joiner, Sharon Hills, and Bel Air. Now, last fall, the Winfield neighborhood got one. It didn't have any tornado damage. Right. Their concern in Winfield was the fact, I think there are about 8 lots that have never been built up in that neighborhood. And there aren't that many residences there either. So 8 new houses all at once could have an outsized influence on the rest of the neighborhood. So they got an overlay to have some control about those 8 lots. Looking forward, you know, there were some other neighborhoods that talked about it. I think Thomas Street neighborhood talked about it. Those talks seem to have fizzled out. There was a lack, I think, based on what city officials tell me, there was a lack of consensus among the residents. There were some people that had the feeling, it was my property, I'll do what I want to with it. I don't want another committee telling me what I can and can't do with my property. And it seems that there was a lack of a single catalyst, like the tornado damage or like the large cluster of empty lots in Winfield. There wasn't a single point of concern about why those neighborhoods needed an overlay. So moving forward, city officials are telling me, you know, they're open to viewing the overlay district as a tool, but they're not sure it's one that's going to continue to be used a lot with the frequency we've seen in these last 2 years.
Yeah, it definitely helps in areas where there's been destruction, I think, to make sure that you're keeping things back up to a narrative flow throughout the neighborhood, if you will.
But, right. Lynn Bryan, the city councilman for the district that includes Joyner, told me what they wanted to see was street view consistency.
Mm-hmm. Which is important with these.
All right. Right.
Thanks for joining us, Caleb.
All right. Glad to be here.
That's a welcome in Josh Mitchell, our man up in Corinth, of the editor of CorinthToday.com, a Journal, Inc. publication. Josh, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Brad, Chris?
Good, man. Welcome back to the show. Man, you had a busy weekend up there, had a bad situation up in Iuka where two people were killed after a standoff that lasted several hours. A man in his house with a gun, his wife and daughter there, they were okay, but he ended up getting killed during a shootout, and also a narcotics agent ended up getting killed as well. First off, Josh, just covering something like that, that's it's a crazy deal, and like I said, you're awfully busy this weekend. What's kind of the feeling up there after all this has happened? I know there's a lot of people upset about maybe how things are handled, but just upset in general that something like this could happen.
Yeah, I think the overall impression that everybody agrees on is that it's just a real sad incident for everyone involved. And it's real unusual for Iuka, obviously. I mean, an officer-involved shooting would be pretty much unusual anywhere, but especially for a area like Iuka in rural Tishomingo County.
Yeah.
And while there are many of the residents are surprised that something like this would happen there, there were some, I spoke to numerous residents, and there were some who expressed that they feel that Iuka is kind of headed in a bad direction. I had one lady tell me that Tishomingo County is just full of drugs, and she was just not real surprised that something like this would occur. And another lady told me that that she's, in her words, she said the bad's starting to come into Iuka.
Huh.
So, but I did talk to numerous residents who said, you know, Iuka is a good place, and the people there are what make it a good community, and that this was just shocking for something like that to happen there.
Yeah, you have to think and hope that it's just kind of an anomaly, but still, you have two people dead. Charles Lee Lambert, the man in the house, who there was some kind of domestic situation, a call, and officers came out, several officers, and I know three were injured, and then one was killed. James Lee Tart, a Mississippi narcotics agent, was killed. Lambert had a high-powered rifle. Kind of what I know there was I guess they're trying to negotiate or whatever for several hours. What kind of precipitated things going sideways there?
I'm not exactly sure what caused the actual escalation to the actual shootout. All I have is what's been released by the Mississippi Department of Public Safety,
right,
which basically says, you know, Tishomingo County deputies responded to a domestic situation at this residence on County Road 201, and a man and his wife and 10-year-old daughter were in the house. And then the situation escalated to a standoff when the man refused to comply with officers' instructions to come outside.
Yeah.
And at that point, the Mississippi Highway Patrol and Mississippi Bureau of Investigation and Mississippi Bureau of Narcotics assisted the sheriff's office. And then after about 6 hours, two tactical teams from the Highway Patrol and Bureau of Narcotics entered the home, and then shots were fired between the man and law enforcement. And then the agent Lee Tart and the suspect Charles Lee Lambert were killed. And then those three state troopers were wounded. And then the woman and the 10-year-old girl were rescued safely, according to the news release. That's kind of like the official word from the Department of Public Safety at this point. Mr. Tart was a 22-year law enforcement veteran and had been with the Bureau of Narcotics since 2000. And he was the 2011 Bureau of Narcotics Agent of the Year and received the H. Lane Caldwell Award of Valor in 2012. And the news release also says he's survived by a wife and two children. The release also said he's the fifth Bureau of Narcotics agent from Mississippi to die in the line of duty in the 45-year history of the agency, with the last one occurring in 1998.
You mentioned he just recently gotten married, and his new wife had two kids, and they had, who became his stepchildren when they married, and he had just built a house. I mean, it's just an extremely sad situation for them, certainly for his family. What have you heard from people you've talked to, just what they said about Lee Tart as a person and as an officer?
Well, I've just heard basically what I've gotten from the official response from the Department of Public Safety, which was kind of just like his long tenure of public service with the Bureau of Narcotics, and just how he was a well-respected agent, having received that Agent of the Year award and the Award for Valor. So it just sounds like, and he, like you said, he was married and had a family. So it just sounds like he was a really well-respected individual and had a lot going for him in life. And just this whole thing was just a tragedy all the way around.
Also, in your story Sunday, you spoke with Mr. Lambert's adoptive mother, Catherine Hudson, and her and some other relatives of Lambert don't like the way things are handled by law enforcement. And I know, you know, people will speak from emotion at a point like this, and there seem to be other people too, though, that are not quite happy. Like the guy you talked with for today's story was upset that they didn't warn him and his family what was going on next door. So there certainly seems to be some people not happy with how law enforcement handled it.
Yes, I think that's a fair statement to say that there are some people who are questioning the way certain aspects of the situation were handled. I did speak with the adoptive mother of Mr. Lambert and also his biological mother as well. And they both believe that if the family would have been allowed to speak with Mr. Lambert during the standoff situation, that it could have been diffused and nobody would have been killed. That is their belief. However, I did speak with Warren Strain with the Department of Public Safety about that, and he said that these officers are trained in what they do, and the first order of business is preservation of life. So apparently he's saying that the officers did everything they could to bring this to a peaceful resolution, and it just wasn't going to happen, unfortunately. The family obviously is upset about what occurred and do have some questions about the way it was handled. And I did speak with a resident down who lives just down the road from the residence where the shootout occurred. And this individual has a law enforcement and military background, and he is upset that he was not notified and warned to stay inside his residence or evacuate when this incident was taking place. So, yes, that's another individual who did also had some concerns.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get some more details about exactly what happened here this week, and continue to look for your coverage, Josh, again, at CorinthToday.com. Josh, thanks for coming on with us, man.
Yeah, thank you, Brad. Thank you, Chris.
Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The Corinth School District will be the first public school district in Northeast Mississippi to become a district of innovation. A new law allows districts to apply to become districts of innovation. That gives them some flexibility from some state regulations. Corinth's application was approved by the Mississippi Department of Education on Thursday. It includes a modified calendar where students attend quarters and have 3-week breaks between them. It also includes more blended learning, merit pay for teachers, and a different state test. Former U.S. Senator Trent Lott sharply criticized the hyperpartisan climate in national politics. The former Senate Majority Leader spoke last week at Reed's Gumtree Bookstore while signing his new book. Lott and former South Dakota Democratic Senator Tom Daschle wrote a book about American partisanship and ways to reverse it. The book is called Crisis Point: Why We Must and How We Can Overcome Our Broken Politics in Washington and Across America. The Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau unveiled a new exhibit on Friday in honor of Tupelo native Frank Dowsing. Dowsing was one of the first black students to integrate Tupelo High School. He also was a standout student and athlete and starred in football at Mississippi State. The exhibit will remain open through the end of March. Legislation providing state funds to allow students to attend private schools passed the House Education Committee on Thursday. The bill is expected to be one of the most contentious bills during the legislative session and now goes to the full House for more debate. It would provide $5,000 vouchers to low-income students and $4,000 to families earning up to 350% of the federal poverty level. A new reality TV show will follow Tupelo mothers involved in Tupelo's hip-hop culture. It features Bernadette Sullivan, the mother of Swae Lee and Slim Jimmy from rap duo Ray Shrimmered, as well as the mothers of other hip-hop artists. Hip-Hop Moms Mississippi will be produced by Alan Pegues of Premium Productions. The pilot will be shopped to different television networks. Local viewers can watch the pilot on March 8th at 8 p.m. on Comcast Channel 198. Need to remind y'all of the two sports podcasts we have going on here at the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans can check out the Daily Journal's double coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. They'll be on every Thursday afternoon. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also, Prep Rally, the Northeast Mississippi High School Sports Podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. That's every Wednesday. You can also watch the webcast that we do live, but it's also a podcast. We'll drop on Wednesday afternoon. You can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. Let's go down to Jackson and welcome in Bobby Harrison, our Capital Bureau reporter. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
I'm all right, sir. Good to have you on again. Had a story in Sunday's paper that I'd like to talk about. It's about this Vietnam Memorial Wall that they're trying to build over at Veterans Park here in Tupelo. Trying to raise money for it. Still have several hundred thousand dollars to go in order to raise all the funds, but the legislature is trying to help out. We've got two bills going through the legislature, one in the Senate, one in the House, to try to get some funds for this. So how much money are they hoping to get just from these bills, Bobby?
Well, the Senate bill filed by new Senator Jack McMahon is, I think he was trying to get $750,000.
Right.
And, of course, you know, Lee County Senators Hi Bryan and Russell Jolly, who both represent parts of Lee County, they signed on to the bill, as has J.P. Wildman from Belmont and some other senators from across the state. Also, a couple of Vietnam veterans who are in the Senate signed on to the bill. And the House bill, I think Randy Boyd, Republican from Mantachie, whose district also goes to Lee County, includes the area in East Tupelo where the Veterans Park is. I think his bill is asking for $500,000. But the key, Brad, is these bills are appropriations bills. They're trying to get money directly from the state general fund to go towards the construction of this wall that would be a replica of the Vietnam Wall and on the Mall in Washington, D.C. that's so well visited. But probably more likely what's going to happen is if this comes to fruition, it's going to be part of a big bond package that they agreed to at the end of the session, where they issue somewhere probably around $200 million worth of bonds for repairs and work on the university campuses and on state buildings. They put some local projects in that and there, and that's essentially taking on debt for long-term projects that have a significant impact over multiple years, like a building or like this wall would have. Usually they have some local projects in their local tours and projects. So that's probably more likely where the money's going to come from. But the Northeast Mississippi senators and House members just trying to cover all the bases, filing bond bills and also appropriation bills to try to get this money. They were unsuccessful, I think it was last year. So they're going to try again this year.
So are they taking a different approach this year, or is there any feeling that it might be more successful this year?
Well, I mean, sometimes it takes these projects. I mean, they're not really taking a new approach. I mean, but sometimes it takes these projects 2 or 3 years to come to fruition. You know, Tupelo has been fortunate to get, I can't remember the numbers now, but probably about $3.9 million for to help with the ongoing improvements at the Elvis Presley Birthplace Museum, which
yeah.
is
yeah, that's right.
And that was a sort of a multi-year process, and so it's not unusual to take more than 1 year to get these projects to fruition. And Brad, I know you probably get up early every morning and go for a walk or a run before you come to work. And my wife and I were up in Tupelo during the holidays, and I've been rocked by the work at the birthplace as it relates to estate money for some time. And we went out to Veterans Park one morning while we were in Tupelo, and we walked from there. You know, the birthplace is a stone's throw away from Veterans Park. We walked in that area, and that's just really, that's just really a super nice area. Tupelo should be proud of, and the wall would just enhance that. It would be about 60% the size of the National Vietnam Memorial in D.C. And apparently the other states have done these, and they've been well attended and well received. And Tupelo, there's folks in Tupelo are trying to get one there.
Yeah, they feel like the wall would eventually pay for itself. As you mentioned, it's about 60% the size of the D.C. Memorial, 267 feet across, 66 feet deep at the center. And we'll have all the names of U.S. military personnel killed in the Vietnam War. I'm going to have those names inscribed on the memorial and have some other stuff, some other information about the war along the walkways. And you mentioned these other places that have done something similar. Is that kind of what gave them confidence that this could be a big draw to Tupelo?
Yeah, they had. I mean, they put together quite a package explaining that the folks in Tupelo are pushing this. And they raised about $200,000
right
locally already. And so they need about $850,000 to do the wall. So they got a ways to go. And that's why they're hoping to get some state funds to help match their local effort. And I think the city is willing to help also. And, you know, maybe some other groups like ARC, you know, Federal Appalachian Regional Commission could help on that. But I mean, that's not, I mean, I maybe speak out of school, but I mean, there's possibility a group like that also could help, but they just need a lot of different sources to get this money together.
Before we let you go, Bobby, let's take a look at the bigger picture here this week. What's going on in Jackson? Tomorrow, Tuesday, is a big deadline. Bobby, tell us a little bit about what that's about.
That's right. Tomorrow night is a deadline for bills to come out of the committee in the House where the bill originated. And, you know, there's several key bills have already come out. We reported on everything from vouchers, even though that still has that still has to go to another committee before it, but it's expected to come out. School vouchers, you know, the bill that allows a circuit clerk not to perform a same-sex marriage if they don't want to, mm-hmm. if they have a religious objection, guns in churches. There's just a litany of bills has already come out, but there's also several key bills that left to be decided, such as the biggest one everybody's watching is the state flag. There's going to be legislation dealing with the state flag coming out this session. We'll know tomorrow night.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, Bobby, appreciate it. We'll keep track of things with your reporting. Y'all can follow Bobby on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Good to talk with you, Bobby.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Speaking of Bobby Harrison, be sure to catch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast this afternoon, Monday afternoon, and every Monday afternoon during this current legislative session at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison will provide commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers, again, each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock, or you can catch the replay later in the day if you miss it, and new episodes, again, will be released as long as the legislature is in session. Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms.
I use Thrive.
You do?
I do.
So do I. My blog, tipsheet.djournal.com.
Ooh.
Well, speaking of which.
You know what? We call that a segue.
Yeah, we do. Not the kind you ride.
No. Spelled differently.
Yes.
Yes.
S-E-G-U-E.
Crime reports.
Crime reports. Yeah, we have crime reports today, so let's
What'd
do
that. What'd you
call me? What? Hmm? What?
S-E-G-U-E.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Thought you were
calling me something.
No.
Okay.
Okay, a County Road 199 Tupelo woman said she saw a man walking around waving a large black knife with a green handle. The man was gone when deputies arrived.
Rambo.
That's it. That's all we got. He's just walking around.
It's John Rambo.
Don't know if he's yelling, if he's chasing somebody. He's just walking around. You got this knife. Woo! And then he's gone.
That was the plot of Rambo.
Pretty much.
Actually, First Blood, because it wasn't called Rambo.
Might have been Crocodile Dundee.
Could have been. That's not a knife. Yeah. Don't get confused on that now. Rambo was not called Rambo until part two.
I haven't seen Rambo all the way through. Punch me in the face. I know.
Because then it was called, the second one was Rambo First Blood Part 2.
I didn't get to watch
it. Really confusing.
I didn't get to watch many movies as a kid. Okay.
Well, you need to watch First Blood. That's like.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of movies from back then I need to
watch. What's the term I'm trying to think of, Chris?
Classic.
Nah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
I don't know.
Ah,
mandatory viewing?
No, it's a rite of passage, I guess. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Where am I? Here we go. An Ida Street man. You're here. A man on Ida Street said the female in a neighboring apartment repeatedly plays her music too loud, and he has filed several police reports on the ongoing problem. The woman told police she does not have a stereo or surround sound for her television. She invited the officer inside, and he saw no stereo or sound system.
That was the plot of Rambo First Blood Part 2.
So he's hearing all this loud music from his neighbor, and then the officer goes in and is like, there's nothing.
She got a phone?
For her to play the music with.
She got a phone?
I guess, and maybe one of those iPod docks with speakers on them.
Hey, all you need is an empty toilet paper dispenser and cut a hole in the top of it and put that down in there, and that's speakers right there.
I'm just like picturing like this playing music that's just like thumping the walls, which I don't think you could really do with an iPod dock, but
you could.
Maybe I guess. She's singing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the other wall and they went to the wrong place.
Maybe so.
Maybe it's the below neighbors.
Maybe the guy's hearing things.
Maybe it's the neighbors. Dead people.
What?
Could be the dead people.
The dead people playing the music?
Mm-hmm.
The guy hears dead people?
You saw Weekend at Bernie's. You know what I'm talking about.
I did.
Did you see Weekend at Bernie's too?
No, I was smart enough after the first one not to watch the second
one. What's wrong with you, Brad? You're disappointing me left and right today. Come on, see Weekend at Bernie's.
That had to be a terrible
too.
Movie.
Come on.
The first one wasn't that good.
He dances in the second one.
Like, at what point does the suspension of disbelief just become, okay, no. I know you have to suspend
at
disbelief.
At the end of Weekend at Bernie's Part 2. That's when you have to give up.
At some point, you can't cover up the smell.
Okay? Yeah, that at the end of 2.
Wow, it took a long time. Because they're like on a beach the whole time where it's hot?
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Listen, what's your favorite movie?
Favorite movie ever?
Ever, all time.
Probably a lot of this is for sentimental reasons, but The Natural. With Robert Redford.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, I'm a huge baseball fan. That was one of the first baseball movies I saw.
There's not a whole lot of suspension disbelief there. I can give you too much there.
Yeah, well.
Give me something you like where there's some suspension of disbelief.
I don't know. Movie-wise?
Sure. No, in your life.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was back to the police reports for a second. Other than mustache. Believe it, buddy.
I see it, but I'm still having trouble believing it.
Well, okay, there's a movie that a lot of people hated.
Sure.
Lady in the Water.
I hate that movie.
And I understand why people would hate it. It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and it was kind of at the beginning of his descent. You know,
that was about the middle of his
descent.
Well,
whatever. I also like The Village, so what do I know?
Well, you don't know anything if you
like
The Village.
But I thought that The Lady in the Water, to deal with it, is you had to suspend disbelief because it was intended to be a fairy tale.
Okay, well, Weekend at Bernie's 2 is also a fairy tale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hauling the dead guy around, if you want to call that a fairy tale.
I believe Grimm wrote it, actually, the original 1864. I cite from the original Grimm's fairy tales. So, yes.
What was the original title? I bet it wasn't Weekend at Bernie's. A fortnight.
Holiday fortnight at Bernard's. I remember it well. I have it on my shelf right now.
Yeah, okay. So. Bring that copy in next time. A Leonard Drive man said his daughter sent him a laptop computer, but the package never arrived. When he called the parcel carrier, they said it was mistakenly delivered to a house on Lambard Drive.
Oh,
so Leonard thickens. Drive, Lambard Drive. See, they both start with L.
Yeah, I got
and
that.
They both end in
Drive.
Yeah,
they both end in Drive.
Leonard and Lambard. Yeah, thanks, Chris. The carrier has opened an investigation. So somebody got a free laptop. They're like, woo!
Yeah.
I bet, yeah.
I mean, what's the investigation? Go to the house where it was mistakenly delivered. Knock, knock, knock. You can come in, officer. I don't have any sound equipment or TV or laptop or anything. The two might possibly be connected.
I don't know what you're talking about, officer. A woman said she met a guy online 2 days ago and agreed to meet at the mall.
This is going to end well, as you can tell.
After a few hours, let's go get pretzels. After a few hours, they headed to a North Gloucester Street motel. Oh. Bow, da, bow.
Why?
I don't know. Because they were tired.
Poor Kay. Bradley.
The man knelt near her open purse before going outside to get something from his car. After she saw him drive away in his blue Chevy Aveo.
What's a Chevy Aveo?
Some crap car. She noticed $400 was missing from her purse. So they probably met on Tinder. They meet up. Let's see.
They quit making those in 2011. And my dog could barely fit in one, but okay.
There you go. And so
there's still a 2014. I'm sorry.
He went to the
breaking news. Chevy to release new Chevy Aveos.
He went to the trouble of meeting this girl at the mall after meeting her online. We call that
a long con.
Yeah, a fairly long con, and ends up hanging out at the mall, and then let's go to the hotel. So I'm assuming he pays for the hotel room, right? Unless he talked her into paying for it, and then he somehow.
Listen, they went to the Scottish Inns.
Probably. Where the guy with the called 911 for the cat milk.
Yeah, the cat milk.
But how did he know she had $400 or any money at all in her purse?
It's just checking.
What if her purse was empty? Then, like, the long cons of just...
Hey, he might be a time traveler. He might have been coming back to prevent something. We don't know.
Maybe he... Somehow, when she took out her purse at the mall, he saw she had a bunch of cash. Was like, hey,
yeah.
Maybe his original
maybe
intent
she
was,
paid for the room, and he saw a lot of cash, and then went in for it.
Or maybe his original intent was not to steal, but then he saw the cash. He was like,
$400. Who filed the police report? Him going, God, I couldn't get rid of this girl, so I took her money, or the girl?
The girl. So maybe he's like, $400.
That's humiliating.
Or
that's embarrassing.
Yeah,
I feel sorry.
It's terrible.
He also just left her there.
Yeah, I just left her at the hotel.
So, lesson here, kids, online dating is bad.
I assume it was his car.
I guess. Yeah, it was his. It was his. Okay, one last one.
This wasn't even online dating. They met like in the Facebook comments on some
probably
section.
Craigslist.
Yeah. You know you're from Tupelo, Mississippi when?
You meet on Craigslist?
No, and it's actually a Facebook group.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they both commented on a story on djournal.com.
Yeah, and they met there. Maybe they're listening.
I like to think our readers are a little.
And now we'd like to make a Craigslist misconnection. You were the one in the blue Chevy Aveo that stole my money and ran away. I was the one left standing in the Scottish Inns.
Okay.
Please come back.
We got one more. A County Road 683 Saltillo woman said her neighbor's child came onto her property and set 3 bales of hay on fire. The end.
When I hear child, I automatically go to I just see some toddler walking around with a lighter, like a 3-year-old with a lighter going up to bales of hay.
I'm thinking of the movie Problem Child.
Yeah. John Ritter.
Yeah, John Ritter.
Suspension of disbelief's okay on that one there for you, though, isn't it?
I haven't seen that one either, but
Lord. Listen,
there was a point in my childhood.
Here's what's happened. I'm going to compile a list.
Yes.
And you're going to give me yes or no's on whether or not you've seen said films. And if you haven't seen them, you're going to have to watch them.
It's going
to
make you sad when you realize how many of these
I know.
Listen, when I was a kid.
Hey, at least you've seen Weekend at Bernie's.
I did see that, but my.
Problem Child's not required viewing.
I'm a preacher's kid. And my parents.
Child's Play? Chucky?
I've seen one of them.
Okay.
I can't remember which.
There's
but
a few.
One or two. Well, that was later on. But that was our boss, Rod Rojardo, walking by. Gave me the old head nod.
He gave you the old heave ho.
Yeah, the little chin up.
The old the guy. I'll see you in my office after it's over with. We need to talk about your performance.
Wait, what?
What?
That's not what I got from
that.
There's
a lot in the head nod.
What I got from that was
keep up the
good
work.
Mustache.
I can almost guarantee you he did not mean that.
Oh, yeah,
he probably meant you need to see Weekend at Bernie's too. That's what it was.
No, but when I was a kid, at one point. And this is when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old. I could count on 2 hands the number of movies I'd seen.
Terrible.
I just didn't watch movies. We never went to the theater. I mean, my dad was going through seminary, so it's not like we had money to do that.
It's time
and
to
we didn't
make
have
a
cable.
List.
Never had cable growing up.
It's time to make a list. I know you've not seen the Star Wars films, and that's disappointing enough. So
I've seen most of them.
The Muppet movie?
Yes, I've seen the Muppet movies.
Muppets Take Manhattan?
Yes. Yes. I love the Muppets.
Weekend at Bernie's too?
No. No. Haven't seen Animal
House.
The
Last Starfighter?
No.
Flight of the Navigator?
No.
Chris, have you ever seen Flight of the Navigator?
No.
Classic Disney film.
Classic. Never heard of it.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm not sure I have either. Sounds like something I should have heard of, but nah, I don't know.
It's the mid-80s, like 84, 86. Live action. It's good. It's good.
Check but I've out. Seen a lot of the classics. I've seen, like, Breakfast Club.
Okay.
I've seen Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead, that's good. That's good obscure movie. Enough for you. Yeah. Yeah. Ferris Bueller?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
all
right.
In fact, my second oldest daughter, that's like her favorite movie of all time.
Well, your second oldest daughter is a smart girl.
Listen, this maybe makes up for some of it. I introduced that movie to her a year, year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. She's just watched it like 10 times. She just loves it to death.
Fletch?
I've seen the first one, I think, but it's been forever.
All right. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's acceptable. I don't think I've seen the second one.
No, that's, well, the second one's good too. You should, but the first one's, that's okay. Back to the Future?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Come on now.
All right. I'm just making sure.
Seen all of those.
Okay. Casablanca?
No. Here's another thing. A lot of old movies I haven't seen, like Casablanca. I've only seen part of Citizen Kane.
How do you work at a newspaper and you've not seen all of Citizen Kane?
I don't know. We watched it one time when I was in...
That's like required viewing for working at a newspaper.
We were in college and we watched it in class, but like we had to watch it in two parts, and I guess I missed this class the second
All the
day.
President's Men?
No. See? Again, I don't have a great catalog of movies in my watching history, viewing history.
Thank you. I was outdoors. There's some required newspaper films.
I was outdoors a lot as a kid. Okay, I stayed outside.
Oh, don't play that card with me.
No, I did.
I went outside. I did.
I didn't play video games either.
I played sports.
Much. I did play sports, quite a bit. Yeah, you played sports and the drums.
You look like a rugby player right now with that shirt and that mustache.
Kind of do, don't I?
Yeah. I mean, not like a good one, but like a has-been, maybe.
I'll take
like
it.
Like a used-to-be good rugby player.
Better than not being
but
one
like
at all.
But like still trying to live in the glory. Like still going to the games like, you know what I would do?
That Named
my,
Lampard.
That was my rugby accent.
We're going to call you Lampard.
Lampard.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
It's a good rugby name.
Yeah. It is a good rugby name. Is that the first name or last name?
Lockfer.
First name.
Lampard Lockfer. It's not bad.
What team do you play for? I play for the I've Never Seen the Weekend at Bernie's Twos.
Am I German?
We were a good team. I don't know. That's just the best I could come up with on the spot.
We should probably end the show now.
Yeah. Probably should have ended 10 minutes ago, to be honest with you, Brad.
Probably.
Tell them where they can find us.
Not like anybody's listening at this point. Oh,
talking about Weekend Bernie's at 2 again. Turn it off. Helen, turn it off. We're talking about that movie with the dead guy on the island.
We are on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Of course, you can listen on iTunes, your podcast app, or at memo.djournal.com. Like I said earlier, send us an email. Tell us about which movies you haven't seen that you'd like to watch. Maybe we'll discuss it. Memo@journalinc.com.
Why would you send an email? Why wouldn't you just watch the movie? Like, why'd I go to the trouble to send an email? Like, I've never seen Citizen Kane, but I'd like to.
So I don't feel so bad?
I just don't understand. Like, you have to, like, if I go out there and poll the reporters right now, I'm going to say, like, 90% of them have seen Citizen Kane.
Yeah, well, I haven't.
That's required viewing.
There's a lot of old movies I want to see that I haven't seen. But I've seen a lot of old movies.
You need to see Citizen Kane.
I've seen a lot of, Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant type movies.
And Weekend at Bernie's 2 is the dead people walking around an island of Citizen Kane's. Citizen Kane of dead people. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
You will not find a better movie where two college buddies get their dead boss's corpse. Dead boss's corpse. Their boss's corpse. I think that's
that's redundant. Dead boss's corpse.
Dead boss's corpse. And try to get all his money.
These guys are still talking about Weekend at Bernie's too. Turn this off.
Turn it off. What turn the car off.
Stupid podcast. Anyway, I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. You, Derek?
At W Derek Russell. Also, you can follow my fan site at Weekend at Bernie's 2 Lover on Twitter and Facebook.
And my new Twitter handle at Lambard Lockfer.
We also have Brad's Twitter at Never Seen Citizen Kane.
Sorry, that's Lampard. At Lampard with a P.
Lockfer.
I don't know how you spell Lockfer.
I'm Lampard Lockfer.
Chris Kiefer at Chris Kiefer with one F. Just kidding, two Fs.
I played rugby in the 90s when it was a real sport.
Silent. One of them's silent, so it's you think it's one F, but it's not. Yeah. It's tricky. So, anyway. That's it. Hey, are you going to be here Wednesday, Derek?
No.
I never know these days.
I will not be here for the rest of the week.
Punk. The rest of the week?
The rest of the week.
Jeez.
Pulling a Bradlock for... I'm pulling a Lampard Lockford.
You know, my back has been hurting lately from carrying the show.
Oh, really? Like that 4 weeks you were gone and I did it all?
That was a week and a half.
No, it wasn't.
Pretty much.
I think you've been out a lot more lately than Brad has, Derek.
Yeah, hey, well. I've been doing stuff. I've been out reporting.
True. This is pretty much all I do now.
Yeah.
Podcasts and webcasts.
I'm out getting stories for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal.
Yeah. Good for you.
Which you can find online at djournal.com or in today's issue of your daily journal.
Follow us on Twitter at djournal now. There you go. All right. Well, I'll be back Wednesday with somebody else. Derek will be back, I guess, next Monday.
I'll be here in spirit.
Okay. Until next time, y'all have a good
weekend at Bernie's Tube Spirit.